and lift up your heads. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Quite a bit of to-do of late about that state Supreme Court decision in Massachusetts mandating unnatural marriage, that is to say, between two men or two women, as though the state could mandate tomorrow that all of our school children should get 5 when they add 2 and 2 together. But no, it seems that these other folk are not to be deprived of their rights. Most Americans think this, and it's a good thing, a bit rich, for even for a nation such as ours, which is quite used to the judicial branch legislating freely and following, or in this case, leading the pack of public opinion, as the Supreme Court did in 73 for abortion. After all, the pollsters tell us, they are surely to be believed, that 66% of Americans are opposed to this unnatural marriage, although when you go down in age, the younger folk, only 44% are against it. And of course, now the talk show people are having a field day. Politicians smell an issue, and even Democrats are seriously considering doing something about it. They're tempted to get into the fray. The common man shakes his head and grows angry even for a moment and wonders, what is this world coming to? But he does not think it through. Do you? I'm wondering myself what all the fuss is about. Marriage was rendered unnatural by legislative fiat a long time ago. Must have been the beginning of the 20th or the end of the 19th century when divorce was instituted in our country. And in our day, everybody, including the vast majority of those who claim the name of Catholic, everybody accepts contraception. If you accept those two things, my dear friend, do not be shocked that an apostate Catholic declared recently, so pleased with himself, we are all sodomites now. He meant, of course, that by accepting divorce and by accepting contraception, we've lost all sense of what holy matrimony is about. By accepting contraception as normal, by separating the sacred act, I mean, which defines marriage, from its purpose, which is the procreation of children, the great American majority has long ago surrendered any basis for condemning sins against nature. Truth to tell, the whole of society, as well as popular religion, which is as popular as ever, in our country, have been rendered profoundly unnatural. And most of those who will cry the loudest against this perversion, and we should complain against it, most of those who will object to this outrageous judicial decision, the dictatorship of a handful of men, unelected, appointed for life, most of those who will object, I say, do not have a leg to stand on because they have served as foot soldiers in this awful revolution against nature and nature's God. This has been a long time coming. when the law years ago legitimated divorce, it destroyed marriage. Chesterton says you cannot have them both. If such a thing as divorce is permitted, why then there is no such thing as marriage anymore. Chesterton goes on to say, the law, like a dog, follows its own nature. And when we make a law, the interior logic of that law may lead to all sorts of unforeseen consequences. And this consequence is that marriage is now, for most, a temporary contract for that which is most intimate and sacred. I mean marriage relations. Marriage has passed from an institution affirmed by all of society and by every religion to just another commercial arrangement administered by the state and subject to no-fault divorce, shorn of its natural meaning, which is the union of a man and of a woman in a contract binding until death for the purpose of the procreation and the education of children. Why shouldn't these people want to get in on a good, albeit temporary, financial arrangement to reap the benefits of tax breaks and pensions and all of the rest, if that's all it means? In the end, how hypocritical is it of politicians and of religious leaders, including our own Novus Ordo bishops with their Catholic divorce of annulments, how hypocritical it is of them to oppose these unnatural marriages. Hypocritical, yes, but understandable. As I say, this mongrel marriage is so perverse, so awful a monster, that to see it in the bright light of day still frightens most Americans. Thank God. Now, if only our co-countrymen might also be frightened by the thought of seeing the day of the Lord and of standing before their judge on that awful day when heaven and earth will pass away and the world be judged by fire. But see how we have come to such a pass. The loss of faith in our hitherto Christian society is shortly followed by the loss, the death, of society itself. You see that in Europe. It is happening right now. And sooner or later, it will come to our shores as well. Cole Porter sang way back in the 30s, and accurately enough as a prophet almost, the world's gone bad today, mad today, and good is bad today. We should heed the exhortation of St. Paul today. Walk, walk honestly, not in lust and impurity, but bearing the armor of light. We should, but do we? I tell you, it is a rule of life, even in our Catholic families, and woe betide any priest or parent or grandparent who may object. It is a rule of life that our young people must date during high school, which means, in effect, that they must have relations outside of marriage with a series of partners engaging in fornication. Ah, that our own parents go along with this. Young people dating before there's ever any thought of finding a marriage partner. It's just a question, not of marriage, but of lust. And then should they choose to live together, then we must accept that as well silently. And then finally, after some big splash of a wedding, they will be married for a while, produce their one trophy baby, and then divorce and marry again and adultery. And all of this must see us silent. Dare we object? Now, to fuel this engine of lust comes contraception, taught to our children in our public schools, and divorce, accepted by all of us in practical terms, which are the two great sins that came first against nature and the nature of marriage, and nobody is getting too upset about them. Again, I ask if marriage is but a temporary financial arrangement for fun, if it lasts as long as the lust lasts or the convenience holds the society's blessings, why should not these other people want to get in on it? Get with it, dear friends. We have lost the battle long ago. Now, there's talk, as usual, when there's some great crisis in our society, about a constitutional amendment, and the so-called conservative ordo bishops are getting on the bandwagon. Dear me, wherever would you start explaining things to people who think that is going to be the solution? Well, how about starting with talking about nature, the natural law, and God's grace that builds upon nature, without which nature must stumble and fall since original sin? How about talking about marriage as a contract between a man and a woman so ordained by God? And then marriage as a sacrament elevated by the Son of God and meant to be the antechamber to heaven. We will be studying this together during Advent with particular emphasis upon the natural constitution of things, the difference, the rule, and the role of husband and wife mutually, and the possibility in marriage, still today, of great happiness. What can we do when we see the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, and we ourselves feel the confusion of the roaring of the waves all about us? Well, for starters, we can wake up. Turn off that TV and the torpor it induces and start to think again as Christians, knowing it is the hour for us to rise from sleep. We can recognize that we have met the enemy, and he is not one of those who goes on TV and proudly identifies himself as a pervert publicly. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Implicated, as we all are, in an entire society built upon perversion, growing more and more unnatural daily. We can recognize that our American culture, which cutely hangs Christmas wreaths this weekend, and plays drummer boy again and again in the stores, that our society is either indifferent or openly hostile to anything approaching genuine Christianity. We cannot shield our children long from these perversions. But must we silently sacrifice them? No. It is for this that in this church, at a young age of reason, our children are confirmed, already then enrolled as soldiers of Christ, that they may fight wearing the armor of light. Only may we not betray them by our blissful ignorance or by a complicitous, cowardly silence. Walk honestly as in the day and lift up your heads. Your children lift their heads up to see how you walk. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.